Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I hope you've got a cup of coffee, or if you're driving, you're driving carefully, but listening carefully to this very fast-paced half hour of content and special guests that hopefully will help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Zell Law, an estate and business planning law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about Zell Law, please visit our website, zellaw.com, or if you'd like to make an appointment, please call us at 571-203-ZELL. That's 571-203-9355. Today we're going to be talking about a special tax that is winding its way through the Congress and will be, I expect, to be enacted very shortly that will have an impact on professional service providers who operate in the partnership form and in the S corporation form. Let me give you a little bit of background on this tax and this issue so that you understand where I'm coming from. As part of the financing for Social Security and Medicare benefits, the IRS imposes a tax on wages of individuals that they receive in connection with their employment. It's called FICA, Social Security tax. And there's a similar tax that's imposed on net earnings of people who are self-employed, known as the SECA tax or Self-Employment Contributions Act. They're basically the same tax. The FICA has two components. One component is known as the OASDI, which is the Old Age Survivors Disability Insurance component, and the tax rate on that is 12.4% up to $106,800 in 2010. The hospital insurance component, the other component rate, is 2.9%, and it's split between the employer and the employee, and the amount of wages that are subject to the hospital insurance component are not capped. So the 12.4% component is capped, the 2.9% component is not capped. The SECA tax rate, the self-employment tax rate, is the combined employer and employee rate for FICA taxes. So it basically works out to be the same tax rate. An S corporation is treated as a pass-through entity for federal income tax purposes. That means each shareholder takes into account and is subject to income tax on the shareholder's share of the S-Corp's income. At the same time, a shareholder of an S-Corp also can be an employee of the same company and is subject to FICA tax on his or her wages. Well, in the past, many individuals, guided on by their lawyers and CPAs, formed S corporations and owned 100% of the stock and really didn't have any employees, and they were rendering all their services through a single corporation being the sole shareholder and maybe the sole employee. And what they would do is they would not take out compensation, they wouldn't pay themselves a salary, and they would try to characterize all their earnings from the S corporation as income from the S-Corp and not subject to self-employment tax or FICA tax. The cases have addressed the issue of whether amounts that are paid to shareholders of S-Corporations actually constitute reasonable compensation and should be subject to the FICA tax, or are some other type of income that's not properly subject to the FICA tax. And these cases look to see whether or not the shareholder is actually performing services and receiving a reasonable salary for those services. And if he is or she is, then arguably the rest of the income may not be subject to self-employment tax. Although that's the question that Congress has been wrestling with, not only in the context of S corporations, but in the context of partnerships of S corporations and limited partnerships, where the limited partners are doing the same thing. They're rendering substantial services for the entity, and they might not be subject to self-employment tax on the earnings that are being allocated to them. Well, Congress also caught wind of this, primarily due to the Treasury Department and the IRS complaining. And they've enacted a new provision in the House that is part of the extenders legislation, and the Senate has something very similar in its bill that's winding its way through Congress that says, if you have a disqualified S-Corp, a shareholder who provides substantial services with respect to certain professional service businesses is going to have to take into account for self-employment tax his or her pro rata share of S Corp income or loss, and that's attributable to the business, meaning that the IRS has gotten to Congress and convinced Congress to enact a new statute that will subject professional service providers who operate in an S corporation form to the self-employment tax. A disqualified S corp in the House bill means an S corp that's a partner in a partnership that's engaged in a professional service business if substantially all of the S corporation's activities are performed in connection with the partnership's activities, and number two, any other S corp that is engaged in a professional service business if the principal asset of the business is the reputation and skill of three or fewer employees. So the House bill is basically saying, if you've got a small S corp where all the revenue is being generated based on the reputation and skill of three or fewer employees, then the income from the S corporation will all be subject to self-employment tax. It's intended that an employee include an individual who's considered an employee for federal income tax purposes. Here's an example. Assume that an S corp stock is owned by a group of architects. The S corp becomes a partner in a partnership that's formed to enter into a competition to design a new building. The partners in the partnership are architects, but they're not owners in this S corporation that also has a partnership interest. The partnership wins the competition, and the partners, including the shareholders of the S corp, perform services for 18 months in connection with the construction of this new building that was subject to the competition. At the same time, the S corp provides architectural services on design and construction of several other buildings unrelated to this building that was the subject of the competition. At the end of the 18 months engagement, the partnership is terminated. Now, this is a common arrangement, and it's going to be acceptable under the new House bill and the Senate bill. The S corporation is not disqualified because substantially all its activities are not performed at the partnership level. So you've got people at the S corp level doing things that are unrelated to what the partnership was doing. Now, here's a bad example that will be caught under the new legislation. Assume that two lawyers, Smith and Jones, form a law firm that specializes in criminal defense work. After several years of practice, Smith and Jones each have successfully defended a number of cases, and the firm has hired associates and support staff to handle the cases brought to the firm based on Smith's and Jones' reputation and skill. In this situation, the principal asset of the business, according to the House bill, is the reputation and skill of Smith and Jones, which means that all the income that's being generated by the entity, even though there's more than three employees, would be subject to self-employment tax. In the Senate bill, they look to see whether or not 80% of all of the income being generated by the corporation is being generated through the efforts of three or fewer employees. And if that's the case, it will be subject to the self-employment tax under the Senate version. We have yet to see a compromise, but we expect to see it soon. And when we do, we think that S corps that are very small, that may be owned by one, two, or three individuals, may be caught in this trap for the unwary. The scope of the legislation doesn't end there. For example, assume an individual owns 4% of the stock of an S corp and provides substantial services with respect to, say, a medical professional service business engaged in by a partnership in which the S corporation itself is a partner. The individual's spouse, who provides no services in the business, owns the other 96% of the S corporation. Under the provision, the service providing shareholder must include in net earnings from self-employment his own pro rata share and also the spouse's pro rata share for SECA tax, for self-employment tax purposes. Now, what is a professional service business? Well, it's much more broad than you might otherwise have thought. It includes any activity that's a trade or business that is in the field of health, law, lobbying. So all you lobbyists out there in the DC area who are listening will be caught by this. Engineering, architecture, accounting, actuaries, performing arts, so entertainers, musicians, actors, consulting, which is a very broad term, athletics, so all the athletes who are operating through S corporations, you'd better be listening, and investment advisors or investment management and brokerage services also will be caught. The bill also extends to partners in limited partnerships. For example, the exclusion from self-employment tax for a limited partner's distributive share of partnership income or loss will not apply to any partner who provides substantial services with respect to the professional service business in which the partnership is engaged. This would apply not only to a limited partnership, but also to a limited liability company and a limited liability partnership, which many professional organizations operate through today. The present law rule that applies to general partners also applies to the partner for determining net earnings from self-employment. Now, you ask, when is this provision going to apply? Well, it applies to taxable years beginning after December 31st of 2010. So watch out, people who have been using S corporations to shelter earnings from self-employment tax or FICA tax. You may be caught now by virtue of this new legislation that's winding its way through Congress. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth. And if you've got any questions on the treatment of S corporations or the utilization of them or the utility of them, give us a call at 571-203-9355, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. Coming up after the break is our special guest, so stay tuned.